Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 7th, 2020, Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Christian friends, several months ago, I was standing in front of this building here, and there was a little more people in the church at the time. It was February, and I preached a sermon on Peter's sermon on Pentecost from Acts chapter 2 under the theme, Christianity is the only true religion. Well, because of the pandemic, which shortly became evident after that sermon, and because of the recent protests and the riots that have been going on across our land, we have discovered that perhaps the question needs to be asked. What makes a Christian a Christian? Are you a Christian because of the things you say or the way you act? Are you a Christian because of your upbringing? Are you simply a Christian because of the way you treat your neighbor? What makes a Christian a Christian? And there are many people who say, well, a Christian is just like being like an American. A Christian is no different than being a Republican or a liberal or Democrat, whatever. Is that what it is? Is that what a Christian is? Just being a good person and striving to do your best? God says no. God says that's not what a Christian is. God says in our text today from Romans chapter 3, this is your reality as a Christian. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. To be justified by faith is your reality as a Christian. Why is that so important? Because it helps us understand how we can reestablish a broken relationship with our God and how we can be motivated to give thanks to our God. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words and is speaking these words to these Roman Christians, had a dilemma. He is attempting to talk about the fact of what people are by nature, and these Roman Christians, who are also Jews, said, well, we're part of the Jewish people, so we're a lot better than the non-Jews. No, that's not it at all, Paul says. In the previous chapter, chapter 2 and 3, he talks about how the fact is, before our text, everyone is sinful, naturally corrupt, separated from God because of their sin. There's no righteousness before us. Our righteous acts are like filthy rags. The reality is, we're not good. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that we are lying, hating cheats. Sin, that bad three-letter word that talks about how we have missed the mark, we've missed the bullseye over and over and over again, caused us to be separated from our God. We are reminded of the reality of our sin. Our sin has destroyed our relationship with God, and no matter how hard we try, we cannot make up for it. You have a conscience that tells you there is a God. A conscience that might even tell you that there's a peace offered through God. A consciousness that tells you there's heaven. And so people make all these efforts to try to bring themselves right with God in a perfect relationship with God by doing it all on their own. Through their own efforts. Their own self-righteousness. And God says, I can't accept it. You're worthless. You deserve nothing from me. I can't accept what your efforts are because they are filthy. Not acceptable in my sight. So the good things that we attempt to do to make ourselves right with God, to restore our relationship with God, are in reality no good. Have no value whatsoever. God hates sin, and he hates the sinner. I said it because I'm simply saying what God says. God hates the sin and he hates the sinner. So we have this conflict because God also says he loves the sinner. I don't know why he says that, but he does. So how do we justify God's hatred and God's anger? How does that reality of his hatred towards sin and the sinner and his love for the sinner, how do we fix that? That's the gospel message, isn't it? Our loving God says to sinners, I'm willing to show my hatred to my son, Jesus Christ, as he's dying on the cross for the sins of the world. All the fullness of my sins and your sins and all the world's sins are heaped on Jesus' shoulders on that cross of crucifixion. That's the payment that had to be made for us to have a righteous relationship with God, a perfect relationship with God, so that we can find the reality of what it means to truly be a Christian. But now, completely apart from the law, Paul writes, a righteousness from God has been made known. This righteousness from God repairs our relationship with our God. This righteousness which Jesus earned for us is credited to us because there are no strings attached. There's nothing we need to do, not a single thing, not an iota. All is guaranteed ours because of the accreditation that God gives to us through his son, Jesus. In fact, if you read chapter 4 of Romans, you'll see that God uses that word credited 9 times to emphasize the importance of the fact that Jesus did it all. There's nothing we have to do or can do. Even the faith that we've been given by the Holy Spirit is nothing that we have done on our own. It's all given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we understand the reality as a Christian where we are now able to establish a perfect relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit tells us that. The reality of the truth is we have faith in Christ Jesus. And what is the result of that? God sees you and me as perfect. Really? Yes. God now looks at you and me and he says, I see a perfect human being, a perfect creature, a perfect child of God, because I see what Jesus has accomplished for them, and they believe that Jesus has credited their faith and taken away all their sins. And they know that heaven is their home. So as Jesus, or as your God, is looking at you, what does he see you? What's he seeing you doing right now? Because you have had your relationship repaired, God sees you as perfect. Now, some naysayers are going to say, well, if you think that you can be perfect in God's eyes, and yet you're still a sinner, aren't you just going to keep on doing more sins because you know you're going to get more forgiveness from God and be more perfect in God's sight? Rod, I'll pick on you. Sorry. When you do something wrong towards your wife and she forgives you, do you say, whew, I'm glad she did that. Now I can just go ahead and do it again? Not at all. That's not the way it works. Because God has redeemed us through Christ Jesus, we are motivated to give thanks to God by the way we conduct our lives. We don't try to prove ourselves to God by our righteous acts. He's done it all through Jesus Christ. But we ought to be motivated to give thanks to God who's labeled us as perfect creatures. And if we want to exemplify perfection, then we want to strive to do our best to be motivated to give our thanks to what he's done for us. So how does God see you perfect? He sees you speaking lovingly and honestly to all people, no matter what their gender or race. Your loving God sees you thinking good thoughts. As the perfect child of God, he sees you always standing up for him. As the perfect child of God, he sees you wanting to gather for public worship or online streaming to gather around his scriptures and enjoy it. Your loving God looks at you as the perfect child of God, and he says, you always want to reach out to those who are still lost and are rejecting Christ because the day is coming when it'll be too late. Your loving God sees you as a perfect child of God, showing forth your love for him by the way you think and act and speak. Can we be doing those things perfectly in God's sight? God looks at us through the mirror of Jesus Christ, and he sees perfection because of Jesus crediting us as righteous, wonderful people of God. But unfortunately, on the side of heaven, we still have a sinful nature that did not get taken away from us. We still are sinful. But we still want to strive to be motivated to show forth our good works, to show our thanks to our God for what he's done for us. So how do we go about doing that? Well, I know we've been going through a pandemic, and I'm sure you're going through your own issues in your own family, in your own life, and maybe those issues have caused you to stray away from God's word. Well, take a moment after your brunch or your lunch today and maybe open up to Romans chapter 4 that I've made reference to before about how God has credited us the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And begin a pattern in your life of gathering around at least one chapter in God's word starting today. And read another chapter tomorrow, and so on and so forth. That's a start to help you be motivated to show your thanks to God for what he's done for you. Maybe here are some other ideas. How about your thoughts towards your neighbor? Remember, your neighbor's not the one sitting next to you right now or the one across the street at your house. Your neighbor is every human being who exists in this world. How are you treating your neighbor? What is your attitude towards your children or your grandchildren? Can you improve on those ways? How are you acting towards your employer, your fellow co-workers? How are you reacting? What is your attitude about church and giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure? How are you reacting to those who reject Christ, those you know and those you know are out there in the world who do not know Jesus as their Savior? How are you what is your attitude about them? Can you improve on that? I think we can. In all those areas and many others, because we have been motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reality as a Christian is Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. We're alive because of Jesus, eternally in heaven. So what makes a Christian a Christian? Is it your upbringing? Is it the way you act around people or speak? Not at all. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. To be justified by faith means that you, as a child of God, have a perfect relationship with God now because of Jesus. Just as if you never sinned. And now you're motivated to give thanks to God. That is your reality as a Christian. Amen.